CorporalNetwork.com.
This episode of The Tome Show, Gen Con 2010 Special, is brought to you by Noble Knight Games, where Out of Stock is available again. And listeners like you, thanks for using The Tome's Amazon store. Welcome to The Tome Gen Con 2010 Special Release, straight from the con. The Tome is a D&D news, reviews, and interview show, and I'm your show host, Jeff Greiner. And in these specials, I'll be releasing recordings from Gen Con during Gen Con 2010. That's right, I'm at Gen Con 2010 right now in a hotel room as I record this. And this is the generic intro that you're going to get to hear at the start of anything that I release during the con. It's generic, so I don't know what this episode's going to be about. It could be a panel recording. It could be an interview. You're going to have to look at the show notes at thetomeshow.com. to find out exactly what's going on here. I'm recording this intro just to let you know generally what's going to be on this episode, that way I can get it out as quickly as possible and don't have to write and record custom intros and what have you while I'm here at the con and trying to run around and get as much information and content as possible. So it's like going to be like you're at the convention, just with a few hour delay. I'll be recording more things than what I could possibly give you directly from the con, and I hope to release that throughout the rest of August 2010 in regular episodes. But some things just can't wait, and I want to get them to you as quickly as possible. You know what else can't wait? Mentioning our sponsor for this Gen Con 2010 special episode. I'm not going to do a pick of the episode for obvious reasons, but you should check out Noble Knight for new game books and old, dice maps or minis, selling books or buying books. Noble Knight can meet all of your gaming needs. After the ad here, you'll be sent directly into, well, whatever it is in this very special episode. Enjoy.
Noble Knight Games has been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide since 1997. A huge selection of over 30,000 unique products, including discounts on most in-print games of up to 50% off or more. Noble Knight Games is the place for out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. They ship worldwide and will purchase or trade your titles you no longer need, new, or used. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Just visit www.noblenight.com or visit our website for direct access to thousands of new, out-of-print, and in some cases, one-of-a-kind items.
Everyone's having a good Gen Con. My name is Bill Slavasek. I am the director of R&D for Dungeons & Dragons at Wizards of the Coast. And my voice is already going, so excuse me. Up here on the panel with me for today's Dungeons & Dragons preview show, Jeremy Crawford, senior developer for Dungeons & Dragons. Steve Schubert, development manager. John Shindahedi, creative art director for.
You know something you don't know.
John just told me his title changed, and I was trying to remember what he said. It's too early. And then Mike Merles, group manager for the role playing game for Dungeons and Dragons. Okay, we're done, everybody. See you later. All right, so today what we're going to talk about, I'm going to tell you just a quick overview of what's available now for Dungeons & Dragons, just in case you don't have a wonderful local game store near you. I can tell you what's coming soon the rest of this year, September through December. Then I'm going to tell you some stuff about 2011, if you want to hear that.
If it comes up.
It's not the apocalypse. And then we'll have plenty of time for questions and answers. So I ask you guys to save your questions till the end of the presentation. So what has come out this year? I'm not going to hit everything. I put all the slides together a couple of days ago, and you know, we put a lot of stuff out, and it was too long, so I'm just going to hit some of the highlights. Early this year, we did Underdark. Who wants to tell them about Underdark?
So the I have to use this technology.
We're being recorded.
Oh, we're being recorded.
Hello, people who are listening to this in the future. The Underdark book basically just it gives a broad approach to the Underdark, giving individual locations with a fair amount of detail that you can sort of piece together to build your own campaign that takes place beneath the earth. There's also some sort of draws in some sort of the classic D&D flavor. Like I think the vault of the Drow has a section in here. So it's really kind of a toolkit approach where if the character's going to go deep beneath the earth, you have lots of options of things to throw at them.
Okay, that's too long. Let's talk about these things quicker. So we want to get to the new stuff. No. Marshall Power 2 also came out earlier this year. All kinds of new stuff for your Marshall characters, including fighters, rogues, warlords, and rangers, which I can read right off the slide. And the big book in the early part of the year was Player's Handbook 3, which introduced psionic power to the game. Who picked up Player's Handbook 3?
Woo!
Cool. Who's running a psionic character? Who's going to run a psionic character?
Only the three.
Who's doing a Minotaur?
Oh, dude.
Anything else we want to ask? No,
okay. Who has a hybrid character?
Who? Oh, right.
Hybrid Minotaur.
We also did Plane Above, like Underdark. That's all stuff about the Astral Sea. Steve?
Like you said, it's a... an overview of the Astral Seas, what you can do with Githyanki pirates, you know, raiding your heroes. Actually, I'm running a campaign that's based because the world's destroyed because of the PCs, because they do that. they're sailing through the Astral Sea, and so I've been drawing a lot of material out of the book to give them places to go and people to fight.
Big book in this part of the year was Monster Manual 3. I guess some of you like that book. Monster Manual 3, we introduced a new format for the monsters to make life easier for the Dungeon Master. Did it work?
Yes.
Yay!
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Love you.
What did he say?
They love you.
Oh, of course. And we also released the Player Strategy Guide, which had a new art look for us. John, why don't you tell them about that new art look?
One of the things that we wanted to do with this book is it was going to be a more casual approach, a little more informal. And so they came back to me and said, hey, let's do that with the art. Let's make it more approachable, have a little more fun, a little more tongue-in-cheek. So we got some fun folks to get together and did a very different look on it. I hope you guys appreciate it. Hope you enjoy the fun and wit and humor that's a part of it as well, too.
Somebody just snuck in, and Greg Bilslin, who's a new producer over for us on Dungeons & Dragons. And was very instrumental in the new format for the monsters, so love him. Just recently, I guess this was last month, we released Demonomicon. Mike, your name's on that, so you should tell them about it.
Well, to keep it quick, it has demons in it.
Okay, too quick. Strategy.
It goes into the abyss. It's almost the approach to the abyss is like what we've done in the Underdark and been other location kind of books, where it's really meant to be a place you can adventure. So we really have an aim toward making that a place where you can send your characters, especially at higher levels, and really with all the demons and stuff included into it. It was all made of a one cohesive package that sort of builds toward that aim. So, and along with the lore and history of the Abyss.
And we also just released The Tomb of Horrors, this year's Super Adventure. Anybody play in that yet?
Mm-hmm. 1988.
Are your groups dead yet?
Most of them are still alive.
Lots of four people. Cool. Tomb of Horror is just it's a big adventure that's actually not meant to be played all in a row. It's set up so you can go in and out of the Tomb of Horrors and see it at 5th level and at 10th level and again at 15th level. And it's got a huge poster map, and it's pretty neat. Oh, where'd you go?
They can't get me on the camera over there.
Oh, okay.
Good job sneaking over there.
Okay, and we got another guy just joined us, Greg Bilson. No, I'm done introducing you. Here at the show, we just released our new August products, the Dark Sun campaign setting. Dark Sun is near and dear to me. I worked on the original edition back in second edition. I wasn't able to find time to help them with this one, but I did spend a lot of time with the concepting with Rich and Rodney and Robert Schwab. Who else worked on that? That was it? Okay. It seemed like we had a whole bunch of people on that for a while. The Dark Sun campaign saying, who's picked one up? Cool. How'd you like it?
Made of awesome.
Yep. Made of awesome. All right, I'm using that.
That's going on Twitter.
With that, we also did the creature catalog. John, how did we go about getting Wayne to do these pieces?
How did we conned him. It scared the heck out of him when we said, hey, Wayne, do you want to do these pieces for us? Because he was like, I do not want to follow up Brahm. And most people wouldn't want to follow up Brahm now, would they? So we did some begging, some pleading, and some small bribes, and he finally agreed to take over the job and loved it and had a blast doing it. So hope you guys enjoyed his art as well.
We like Wayne.
We like him too.
The adventure that goes along with this is Marauders of the Dune Sea. And we also have the Psionic Power source book, which follows up both Player's Handbook 3 and is also usable for your Dark Sun campaign. We're only showing it at the show. The slow boat from China didn't quite arrive, but the Castle Ravenloft board game is on its way and will be in stores later this month. If you haven't gotten a chance to go take a look at it, we've got copies of it in Sagamore Hall, and it's a big, heavy box of goodness. Well, evilness. vampires and stuff.
When you open the box, does a bat fly out?
We tried to do that, but that was against...
The liability insurance.
Yeah, that went against the code.
It was too often it was a dead bat. Yeah. Well, then we had the spring-loaded dead bat.
That's going on Twitter.
All right, so now we're coming to what's coming up. Actually, before we do that, let's go back for a minute. Anybody playing in Encounters seasons this year, this season? The Dark Sun? Okay. Encounters season, how many of you don't know about Encounters? All right, so I don't have to do a big spiel here. But Encounters happens Wednesday nights in your local game stores. Actually, Greg, you've been doing Encounter stuff. Why don't you tell them a little bit about it?
It's a weekly program. It revolves generally around one of our current products. The first season was set in the Forgotten Realms, and it was sort of to kick things off. Now we've entered into Dark Sun. That'll be wrapping up in late September. And we'll be moving on to the new season of Encounters, which is Keep on the Borderlands, Season of Serpents, which is going to have some very interesting serpentine threats, dragon threats, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We've done some play testing on it, and it's really been a hoot.
And the Keep on the Borderlands season is actually tied into our essential releases, which start off with the Red Box, the Fantasy Role-Playing Starter Set, which comes out next month. We went totally retro with this one, and I want John to talk about that.
Oh, wow, got me off guard on that one. One of the big things is they wanted to tie back to, you know, the basis for where everything started with Dungeons & Dragons, so we talked to Larry and said, hey, Larry, can we sit here and use this piece again and play off the whole Red Box all over again, back to my youth. I don't know how many people started out there, but that's where I started, was Red Box way back in the 70s. And we had a blast going back and revamping the entire box and tying back to those initial look and feel, and started to take off on that.
guys want to say anything?
Did you want to say anything, Bill?
Yeah, why don't you tell them about what's in it, Jeremy?
I'm trying to make sure we got more people up here than I'm used to, so I'm trying to figure out how to do this.
I'll stand up.
The red box basically includes everything you need to have a starter D&D experience. So it has not only information on making your characters, but it also has information for the DM on running a starter game. It has tokens, battle map, adventure. It also has a really great adventure that you play through to create your character. So
it's
you,
a solo.
Yeah, it's a solo adventure. So check it out.
This is a great item just for the nostalgia. It's got neat components. It's got dice. And if you got a new player coming into your group that you met at Encounters, let them use this to figure out how to play the game. The rest of the essentials, let me tell you a little bit about the essentials line. Because I know there's a lot of confusion out there. We've been accused of everything on this one, and I just want to set the record straight. This is a set of 10 products that's really just put together so that stores, especially new game stores, know what they should always have on stock. Very often we go into a store and we find out that they don't have Player's Handbook 1, they just have 2 and 3. And that's not good for new people coming into the game. So this line sets up the 10 key products that every store needs to have. They're written in mind for new players, but there's stuff in there that you existing players are going to want too, because it all works together. I like to liken the role-playing game Dungeons & Dragons is like this big highway, and with Player's Handbook and Monster Manual and Dungeon Master's Guide, we let you onto the highway at 10th Street. With the essentials, we're making an on-ramp on 1st Street, and so we're just making it a little easier to grow the hobby and get some new people in here to make sure that we're all playing this game for another 30 years, or almost 40 now. Hopefully we'll get past the apocalypse and we'll get to the 40th anniversary in 2014.
Even if it does, we'll be playing the Astral Plane.
Wait, isn't that why you guys came out with Secrets of the Astral Sea?
With Heroes of the Fallen Land, this is one of two player-oriented books for Dungeons & Dragons. And while I worked on it, I want Mike to tell you about this one.
Yeah, so like Bill said, these products, I mean, you think of the red box, when someone buys the red box, they've never played D&D before, it's very easy to point them in the direction of, hey, this, now that you're at second level, go on this book to keep your character going. But so while it's aimed at new players, there's also essentially new builds for the four core classic classes. You know, fighter, cleric, wizard, and rogue. I almost said magic user and thief. The thief, though, is one of the builds. And just the basic idea is, if you think of the Beastmaster Ranger from Martial Power, these builds are a lot like that, in that they introduce new mechanics, and if you go with that build, you're going to look a lot different in some ways from other members of that class, but you're still a member of that class. If you're playing a cleric in this book, you can still take powers from any other book we've done. If you're playing a fighter, you won't have daily powers, and you'll have stances instead of at wills. So there are some differences, but there are still, in your utilities and feats, it's completely interoperable. I read somewhere, I think Trevor Kidd, our one of the guys who works on our website, with
Trevor, stay down, big bat.
But he said something very important, that he never wanted us to talk about conversion, even accidentally, because there is no conversion. It's the same game. There's no need to convert anything, because it's like translating English into English. I guess if you're British and American, maybe it's different, but it's just two Americans still talking to each other. That's like Bori in the Essentials. It's the same game.
The other thing about these books is that we tried a new format. These are 6x9 digest-sized paperback books, lower price point, again, trying to make it much more friendly to new players. Also in September, the Rules Compendium, and I'm going to let Jeremy talk about that because that was his baby.
The Rules Compendium, as you would guess by the name, is a compendium of all of the core rules for Dungeons & Dragons. And so this book includes the rules that you would expect to see in the Player's Handbook, but also the Dungeon Master's Guide, and even material you would see in a monster book. It's organized in a way that it should be easy to reference. It is for the advanced player, so it has tips on, okay, you have this, you know, corner case of the rule, well, here's what you do, but it also has guidance for the new player, trying to explain some of our more arcane rules.
And again, it's in that 6x9 format so that you can, much more easily portable and quick reference, easy to look stuff up. Oh, and they lay flat. Yes, John, we did a lay flat binding. So with these books, you can lay them flat. And
that was good charade.
There they go. You were supposed to kick me under the table.
I couldn't get my feet on a long time.
And the other Essentials product coming out in September is our new line. Well, they're not. It's our master sets of dungeon tiles. These are 2-inch thick boxes that have 10. Do we remember? 10? 10?
10.
10 dungeon tiles, 10 sheets of dungeon tiles. The box has a grid on it as well so that you can make 2 levels if you use the box. And there, did we do the staircase in this? I think there's a staircase that we put in this set. The dungeon is the classic dungeon crawling pieces, and this will always be around. So unlike our more heavily themed dungeon tile sets, which we do one printing of, they come into existence and then they're gone, this will always be available for dungeon masters to go pick up. And finally, our new miniature set will hit in September. We have you can go see this down in the booth. It's in the glass window by the register. Go after the big line in the morning and you can go and examine the pieces. But Lord of Madness is our next huge set, and that's about to hit. In October, we have the Dungeon Master's Kit. And this is the first, well, I guess it's the second box product, not counting the, or counting the dungeon tiles. For the Essentials line, and let's let Jeremy tell you about this since he worked on it too.
The Dungeon Master's Kit is meant to have everything in it to get a DM started dungeon mastering Dungeons & Dragons. So it includes not only a digest-sized book of rules, guidelines for DMing and whatnot, but it also includes starter adventures, it includes battle map, tokens, and it also includes a DM screen. All of that is in this one box.
So these boxes were trying to outweigh each other from Castle Ravenloft to the Dungeon Master's Kit. They almost feel like they come with bricks. They're very heavy. Also, something new. Well, something old and new again. In
yes.
October, the D&D Gamma World role-playing game.
Woo!
This was a really neat experiment we decided to try, and probably the best person to talk about this is Steve and Greg, so I'll let them both chime in.
Yeah, the Gamma World, how many of you are familiar with Gamma World? Little post-apocalyptic nuclear mutant action stuff going on.
It takes place in 2013.
We had a lot of fun with this book. It does also take a little bit of a lighthearted turn. When is the Gamma World presentation? Did we already do that?
Later today
at 4. We're going to have the seminar, and there'll be lots of information there. But we also designed this with the D&D game system in mind. We have character generation that is completely different than the way you generate a typical D&D character.
And it's awesome.
It's very fast. We wanted it to be fast so that when your character inevitably dies, you could roll up a new character and be ready by the next encounter.
He's not joking.
I'm not joking. It is almost as simple, it might be as simple as rolling 2 dice to determine your theme, whether you're part plant or cockroach or android or pyrokineticist or something, and then rolling 3d6 in order to determine any ability scores that hadn't been generated yet. So it's pretty straightforward. Your powers are based on which themes you have. There's a card mechanic that we've got integrated into the game that gives you your mutations. Your mutations change every encounter, sometimes in the middle of the encounter. There's a tech deck that you draw for your treasure so you can get fusion rifles and you know, grenades and robots that don't work and things like that.
Toasters.
Toasters. So yeah, it's really fast to set up and it's fun to play. And it also uses, as I said, the D&D game system, so you have monsters that look like D&D monsters. You can, in fact, take your monster manual and throw a bunch of orcs at your mutants if you want to. And if you really like to take androids and throw them in your D&D game, you could do that as well, taking them out of the Gamma World game and tossing them in there.
Except the monsters do laser damage instead of fire.
Yes, the monsters do laser damage.
That's going on. New damage type laser.
New damage, two new damage types, laser and physical. Two new damage types.
Is there bomb damage?
Hmm?
Bomb?
Bomb damage, no. Usually that's force or thunder or both. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun to work on. The box has everything you need to play the game. It's got the card decks for the initial card deck for the mutations and the...
Except dice.
It doesn't have dice, sorry. Almost everything you need to play the game, you need dice.
We assume most of you have those.
Yeah. But it's got the rule books, it's got token sheets for all the monsters. But I'll let Greg say a few things.
What's left?
What's left, yeah.
Come to the seminar.
My experience, Gamma World's a very story-driven experience. I've been running it weekly for the last couple of months. I think Trevor here has gone through a couple characters. The alpha mutations are really exciting. Kind of some of them are kooky and crazy from, you know, you explode and do damage to people around you. But it also has some, it encourages improvisation, sort of randomization. There's a lot more just kind of rolling randomly to determine what gear you might find or what ancient junk you loot from somebody's glove box. Even the stat rolling ability scores, going back to the old 3d6 rolling for ability scores. Of course, that's tweaked a little bit to make sure that it would still actually be effective in combat. But it really kind of embraces an old school role playing style with some sort of new school built into that. I think it's been a lot of fun.
And it does have a card mechanic, as we talked about. And the card mechanic is really this randomizing Wahoo element. And to help with that, although you do get a set of cards in the box, we're also doing some Gamma World booster packs if you just want to add some more of that Wahoo excitement to the game. Do not try to collect all the cards. They're not meant to be that way. They're meant to be open a deck at your game and see what happens when your guys mutate. In November, the second of our player-oriented essential books hits with Heroes of the Forgotten Kingdoms. With this one, we introduce four more classes, the Druid, the Paladin, the Ranger, and Warlock, and more builds, and just more player goodness. They're basically bookmark books. You know, if you got the one and you get the other, you're going to see they fit together perfectly.
Heroes of Forgotten Kingdoms also have different races in it?
Yes, there are also different races in here as well. So there's different class builds and different races. The races in the first book are human, elf, eladrin,
dwarf,
and halfling. And in this book, we have dragonborn, drow,
tiefling,
half-orc,
half-orc and half-elf.
Half-elf and half-elf. Right. Thank you, Mike. I worked on these so long ago. Stray line there. Also, this month is the Monster Vault. Monster Vault is another box full of monsters. Greg, you want to talk about that one?
Sure. As you can see from the slide, all the monsters will be beginning with the letter L. It's a new angle we're going to go with. Arrange it around the alphabet. No. This is going to be a lot of classic monsters that you've seen before. I think about 25% of monsters you've seen before, but we're going to be introducing a lot of new versions of classic monsters. It has a token component, so that even if you don't have an expansive miniatures collection, you're still going to be able to run in all the monsters in here. The tokens use a art from the book. And now we've also introduced on StatBlock sort of a new format to where we're actually going to be having the pictures associated with each monster embedded as part of the StatBlock. And so I think that's a real nice new format to really help you connect what a monster looks like with what's on the page.
There's also some adventures in this as well. And it's got 10 sheets of monster tokens, so it's another box looking to cause damage as you lift it up.
It's even heavier than the DM kit.
The other cool thing about this is that, as they said, these are classic monsters, but they work right alongside the monsters from Monster Manual, so you'll get new kobolds, new orcs, new owlbears, etc., as we have on the cover. We did this cover just for Chris Youngs, who works on our digital stuff, because he doesn't like the owlbear. How can you not like the owlbear? And he's going to hate me for saying this.
How can you not? Going on Twitter, he'll find out before we get home.
Thank you. Thank you. The second Dungeon Tiles Master Set hits this month as well, and this time it's the city. All tiles set up so that you can do city adventures. One side of the tile is the streets with the buildings and the cobblestones, and the other side is sewers, so you can do underground and overground for the city. And here's the first of my reveals for the show.
Awesome!
In November, like the Orcus that came out earlier, we are doing a limited set of Beholder miniatures, including Beholders that are brand new as of Monster Manual 3. There's the Ghost Beholder and the Shadow Beholder and a few other, I don't remember, what's the Ice Beholder? John doesn't remember. But this box is also really cool. I couldn't get a picture of this, but the box, the lid opens like a book, and then you see the four beholders in right there. So you can actually display them in the box. It's a really cool set, and it's coming in November. Like the Orcus, there will not be a lot of them. So if you want one, tell your game store to save you one. And also in November, our second board game, Wrath of Ashardalon. Whereas Castle Ravenloft had all undead monsters, as well as some other stuff, this one has a great big red dragon, among other stuff. There's also an Odiug mini in this box.
Nice. Oh, man.
So, and it uses the same game system as Castle Ravenloft. The two games will work together, and we'll do things on the website to show you how to do that. The other thing about these games, they're cooperative. And they're also good for one. You can play them by yourself or with up to five players. And then in December, we wrap up the Essentials products with the Wilderness Dungeon Tile Set. Another big box full of outdoor goodness. Also in December, our first follow-up to Gamma World, the Famine in Fargo expansion. Who's played through this one?
I haven't played through it, but I know it's going to include more mutations. So initially, Gamma World kicks off with about 20 different...
You got to talk into the mic.
Initially, Gamma World kicks off with about 20 different mutations, different crazy things your characters can be. This one is going to add, I think, another 20 to that to allow your characters to be even crazier. I think there's an octopoid in there.
Octopoid plant.
And this is the one with the giant chickens. Yes. This is based on
Earth. Will there be a mini for that?
There will be a token.
You go out and catch the mini, and then you bring it to your game.
A couple of things before I move on to 2011. We'll go back to the Red Box. The Red Box is going to have a game day in September. So look for that at your local game stores. Then, as we said, the Keep on the Borderlands encounter season, which is also tied to the Essentials, will kick off. And then in October, I believe, is it October? The Gamma World Game Day. I'm asking Laura Tomervik, who is our marketing manager. Stand up, say hello.
Hello.
She knows that stuff, so I don't have to remember it. The game day for Gamma World will be in October. And the adventure that's we put together, the famous Chris Youngs that I mentioned earlier, was managed that project, and he's very proud of it. It's got some website connections. Where's Bart? Are you back there?
No.
Bart left. I don't know if I can tell you what's that. I'm not going to tell you about that, but maybe they'll tell you tomorrow, later today at the Gamma World seminar. I also want to tell you about some of the novels. My group is also, we do the games, but we also do the novels. Here at the show, Ed Greenwood's new Elminster Must Die is available for the Forgotten Realms. It's a new adventure for the mightiest mage in for the Forgotten Realms, Faerun. The new Dungeons & Dragons line that I happen to write the first novel of debuts this month, actually Tuesday it came out. This is the first time we've done pure Dungeons & Dragons novels in a long time, and we're very excited about this line. This is set in the Nentir Vale and the surrounding area, the same place that we have in the Player's Handbook, all the adventures, and in the new Essentials material. It's our core world, our assumed core world for Dungeons & Dragons. This is the first. It introduces a bunch of characters that you'll also see throughout the Essentials and moving forward in our various products. And these characters will be doing all kinds of stories in this Dungeons & Dragons line. This is the new bad guy in the series, which is John's group did really good with this art. It's creepy. Anyone who's interested, I'll be doing a signing at 1 o'clock, and the first 50 of you will get a free copy of the novel that I'll be happy to sign. I'll sign anything else if you want to come by. We'll be over at the author's area at the far end of the exhibit hall. With this new Dungeons & Dragons line, we've also got this prelude novella going on. It part 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 appears in the books you see up there. It started last month with the Ghost King paperback, and then part 2 is in my book. The next one will be in the Dark Sun novel that comes out later this year, then in the Forgotten Realms and also in Eberron. So this prelude novella is written by James Wyatt, and it sets up a big storyline that's going to cross all of our categories, board games, encounter seasons, novels, and role-playing, beginning next year, which we'll talk about a little later. In October, R.A. Salvatore's next book, Gontal Grimm, hits. It's a new beginning of a new trilogy for Drizzt. And for those of you with younger-minded readers in your families, just to show you some of our young adult stuff coming up, Practical Guide to Dragon Magic. Our Young Wizard's Handbook that tells you how to trap a zombie, track a vampire, and doing other cool things. It's basically an activity book. And Bob and his son write their third book together, The Sentinels, which is the conclusion of the Stone of Timira series. I want to give a call out too. IDW is doing some Dungeons & Dragons comics. We're very excited to be working with these guys. The first one is set in the core world. It actually takes place in Fallcrest, and that's written by John Rogers of Leverage fame. And the second one that's coming out is a Dark Sun book by Alex Irvine, who's one of our authors as well as a novelist in general. And those two will be their first ongoing series for their Dungeons & Dragons comics. And in 2011, they're working with R.A. Salvatore to do a Drizzt comic. New stories for Drizzt. So that'll be in 2011. Which brings us to our 2011 stuff. Oh, we're out of time.
We can run long.
What's in here after this?
Dark Sun.
Dark Sun's next. Okay. Yeah, we can run long.
You guys don't care.
So I talked about the world-spanning event. We're leading up to a thing called the Abyssal Plague, and the Abyssal Plague will take place in the Dungeons and Dragons novels. But it will also have echoes in our other worlds. You'll see it in the Forgotten Realms. You'll see it in Dark Sun. So next year you'll get... The main storyline is in the Dungeons & Dragons line, beginning with Temple of Yellow Skulls by Don Bassingwaith. The main storyline continues in August in Oath of Vigilance, a Dungeons & Dragons novel by James Wyatt. But Bruce Cordell's Sword of the Gods is how this plague affects the Forgotten Realms. And Under the Crimson Sun, the Dark Sun novel in June, how this storyline affects the Dark Sun world. We're really excited about this project, and we think you guys will be, I hope you guys like it. It's been a really fun, coordinated effort.
Nothing for Eberron on that?
There might be, but I'm not going to tell you everything that's going on. There are some things that must be left as a surprise. So what's coming out next year? We're going to start off the year with a project called A Gazetteer for the Nintyr Vale. We're making such a big deal of this place, we figured we should give you a little book that shows you what's there and how to use it. It's a 6x9 format, so it's a paperback book with a gatefold map of the Nintyr Vale, but also what's around it. So it'll be the first time we begin to expand beyond the Nintyr Vale as well. And then we're doing something called fortune cards. Mike, Steve, who wants to wrestle for this one?
Okay. So did you say you'll take it?
Yeah.
Okay, go for it.
So fortune cards add a little bit of randomness to your game. They are, as you might imagine, cards that you buy, and they're in booster packs, just like a magic deck, a magic booster pack. But and they are... little elements of fortune or luck that can influence how your character is acting. You draw a card, you can then, if you meet some of the conditions on the card, use it for some benefit during your turn. It sort of gives you a little bit of an idea of, like, in your decision-making on your player's turn, what you want to do and sort of what kinds of actions you want to accomplish on that turn. But it just adds a little bit of fun and power to your character. During your game session. So, you want to say anything else?
Yeah, I just want to throw in a quick thing. The basic idea behind it is when we talk about Gamma World, where you have a card deck with very random things can happen based on how your character's mutating. We don't want D&D characters to mutate, but what we like is the idea, like, yeah, when you're watching, like, a movie or reading a comic book or any story, there are these sort of just random twists or sudden changes in how the combat's flowing that can have a really big, interesting effect. So we didn't want these just to be like a naked power-up. We don't want these where you just, I have the rare cards, I just kill the monster. They are more that sort of random, dramatic swing of events that can happen in a fight where maybe things kind of take a turn you didn't really expect. So it's really embracing this sort of random element of the game. And like Bill mentioned with the Game World cards, we don't really mean this to be like go out and buy an optimized 60-card deck that just destroys everything. It's really just meant to be something random. In a way, you could say if you collected every single last card and got 8 copies, you'd be kind of defeating the purpose of having this sort of random swing of chance during an encounter. In playtest, they've been the most fun when someone's played one and it's been a surprise to everyone at the table what just happened or what could happen.
With these, we're going to make these available for use in our various organized play programs, including the encounter seasons, as well as for home games. They are totally optional, but like with the Gamma World, they add a fun element to the game that we think... you should at least try, and like we said, they're not meant to be buy a case and collect them all. That's not the way they work. Also in the first quarter, our first player's book, Heroes of Shadow. It's a player's option book. For those of you who said we weren't going to do anything for core players after the Essentials, well, that's not true. We begin with the Heroes of Shadow, and I'm going to let Mike talk about that one.
Yeah, so basically this is talks about Shadow. One of the things,
So it's, new power source.
Yeah, with the new power source. And what you've seen before in the Assassin, we are actually one of the things we're really doing, trying to do with this book, is incorporate more flavor and background into the text itself. So it's not just here are 300 new powers. We want to give a really nice framework for the Shadowfell and shadow magic, the story behind it, what it means as your character to have embraced this power source. So there are powers and builds for the shadow power source classes, but those tend to focus on giving shadow options to existing character classes. There are also plenty of new feats and other options. So even if you're playing a fighter, if you are playing a fighter with a dark past who maybe dabbled in shadow magic or has some ancestry or something linked to it, there are feats in here that you can select to build out your character in a really flavorful, vivid way. Really, the important thing was not to just focus on the mechanics of a power and the mechanics of a feat, but to build the game world elements, the fictional. You know, what's going on in the world of D&D when you take this feat? What does it say about your character? So it's really about giving you the full experience of D&D, both mechanics and story combined.
So we said earlier that there's a screen in the Dungeon Master's kit, and there is. But we're also going to do a deluxe Dungeon Master's screen, much thicker stock, really durable, and with brand new art from that Wayne Reynolds guy. And this art's pretty amazing, so I want to show it to you. It doesn't all fit in one piece on the screen.
Awesome.
On that screen. The original of this is almost as long as this table. Not quite, but almost. And you'll see some of the characters that I mentioned from the novels are up here and from the new Dungeons & Dragons stories that we're doing.
When are you going to let Reynolds sleep?
John?
No, never. He doesn't sleep.
Is the other side the same?
The other side is all of the game tables. There are some slight modifications from the one in the DM kit. The one in the DM kit is for newer Dungeon Masters. It's kind of like a starter Dungeon Master screen. It's basically the same, but we made some tweaks.
Yeah, we just finished up working it last week. Obviously, it has essentially any rules updates, like to the DCs for skill challenges, and there are also a few elements we've moved around, kind of having experience with, you know, 2 years of the game being out there. So I believe, and I know I'm going to get this wrong, because there's like information on skill challenges, like number of successes and failures. There are also some other elements, you know, just advice in general and running them there. So there are definitely changes to the content of that screen. So.
In the second quarter, we have a brand new equipment book called Mordekainian's Magnificent Emporium. I'm going to let Mike talk about this one too, because this is his outline idea.
This is like one of the three books that I'm trying to work on at once. So one of the things we did with this book, when I talked about for the player's option shadow book, is really getting more into the story behind items and really taking a broader picture view. There are magic items, obviously, in this book. Each magic item now has a flavor of story that goes along with it. And it's not necessarily a story in the sense of, like, here's a magic sword, and it went to school when it was 8, and it learned to be, and it got to +3, it graduated to +4. It's really about, like, you know, taking, hey, here's a suit of armor. I think one of the items, so ironically, this is an item that doesn't appear in this book. It appears in Shadow, but there is one of the magic items is haunted armor. So it talks about how this is a suit of armor, and it's really battered and beaten, and you see, a small hole right above where your heart would be in this armor. It's like, okay, someone died in this armor, but now it's magical. Their sort of spirit, some essence of it lingers on in it. That's what makes it magical. Really bringing to life the item in the world of D&D, not just on your character sheet, but in terms of how is this item made? Where is it from? What's its story? It's also beyond magic items. There are also some new weapons here. There are also some new character options for characters who want to, like fighters who want to specialize in a type of weapon. There are some mechanics in here for that. So it's really a more broader-based approach to the concept of like shopping and gear than just magic items for each slot. So we tried to take a bigger picture view and really integrate it into the world of D&D.
You know, magic items. We're doing something new with magic items for the essentials, beginning with the essentials and moving forward. And we weren't going to talk about this, but I'm going to let Jeremy talk about that because I'm feeling generous today.
starting with the essentials next month, magic items are going to be grouped into three levels of rarity. They're going to be common items, uncommon items, and rare items. And we're doing this because we want to basically broaden the range of magic items that you see in the game. Rare items are going to be items that will be more spectacular than the magic items you typically see in our books. But these are also going to be, as the rarity type indicates, extremely rare. I mean, your
priority of the Dungeon Master, or review of the Dungeon Master.
Yeah, it is likely.
Tell him
that. Yeah, I will.
Okay,
I'm getting to that.
Sorry.
He's excited.
It is unlikely that a character would have more than one rare item. And what Bill was getting at is also a rare item is something that your character would not be able to create on his or her own. They're not going to be able to use the enchant magic item ritual to suddenly create a rare item. This is something they're going to find in an ancient tomb. They will, you know, battle through a dungeon, and that's how they will acquire their rare item. For the most part, that rule about not being able to create it or buy it is also going to apply to uncommon items. Uncommon items are going to be the purview of the Dungeon Master, whereas what we refer to as a common item, those will be the items that characters can create themselves or buy if they happen to be in a city or some other location that has magic items for sale.
Heck yeah!
I didn't want to be the first one. That's awesome.
And we're doing that to give, as we said, the power back to the Dungeon Master when it comes to the high-end magic items, and also to let them be more part of the story, more part of the natural evolution of your campaign, and not the end result of a shopping trip.
Quick question. Is some of this stuff that's already out in the earlier books going to be uncommon?
Repeat the question.
Yeah. The question was, are items that are in our books already, are they going to be uncommon? The answer is almost everything we published will be categorized retroactively as uncommon, which means most of the items in our books will become entirely the domain of the DM in terms of how those items get into the hands of the players.
DMs rejoice.
To go along with the shadow theme of the earlier product, we've got the Shadowfell, which explores Gloomrot, the city, and beyond. This is a box set coming out in the second quarter. It's all about Shadowfell locations. It's got a small adventure in there, poster maps. It's just the era of box sets are back for us, and I think you're going to like what's in them.
Yeah! Oh. You tease!
Psych! No, Greg wants to talk about Shadowfell.
There's one component I wanted to talk about in Shadowfell that I find fairly exciting, and that's a deck of cards called the Despair Deck. This is a deck that you can introduce into your Shadowfell adventure. It's for the DM to give out to players that adds an element of gloom to their deck. It sort of has a Cthulhu-esque feel to it. You might have a madness card, or you might have a fear card, or an apathy card that affects your character, and then as you overcome that effect, you're going to gain some boon. So for the players, they have interesting role-playing hooks. You might be haunted, or you might be apathetic, or you might just be, you know, a lunatic. That it has this sort of really interesting role-playing element to it that also has been supported mechanically. I think it's going to be a really exciting element to add a little bit of flavor to your Shadowfell campaign.
Are those meant to be mixed in with the fortune cards?
No, this would be a separate component. Yeah. You could use it in the Shadowfell. You could also use it if you were playing like a horror type game. You could separate the cards out specifically to go for the fear cards or just the madness cards.
Yeah.
Do you want to say
something?
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. The thing about these box sets is we're trying to create experiences. So this the card decks for this particular one adds a slightly different feel to your to the two or three levels you'll play through going into the Shadowfell and hopefully coming back out the other side. Or maybe not. All right, back to where we were. Monster Vault. This is a follow-up to the Essentials Monster Vault, and this one is Threats to the Nentir Vale. Again, those themes that we're talking about. Again, building more story and experience into the game. This is a big box of monstery goodness. If we weren't doing it in a box, this would be the monster manual for the year. But it is in a box, and it's got tokens. It's got encounters to use with some of the monsters. It's got poster maps. And again, another it's an experience in a box. Anybody up here want to say anything more about the Monster Vault? No. I covered it?
Covers it.
All right. Look for it in the second corner. And then you thought we were just going to do cooperative board games. In end of the second quarter, we're going to do Conquest of N'Rath. It's a Dungeons & Dragons war game board game, a strategy war game. A 2-4 player game, battling armies across the ruins of the Empire of N'Rath. It's going to be the first place where we actually show you a big chunk of the world map because we needed to make it for the board. It's a really fun game that Rich Baker designed, and Peter Lee of our miniatures fame is doing the development work on it right now. And a bunch of plastic. It's in the tradition of Axis and Allies and Risk. And I think it's a really fun game. It includes, in addition to your armies of skeletons or humans and dwarves, depending on which faction you're playing, it also has heroes, and those heroes can go into dungeons to get benefits for the armies. So it is truly a Dungeons & Dragons war game. In the third quarter, our next player's book, the Player's Handbook, Champions of the Heroic Tier. We're going to let Mike talk about that.
So, yeah, this is the third book that's on my desk right now, but I'm sure when I get back on Tuesday, I'll have plenty of work to, you know, lots of work to keep it going. So the idea behind this is really to take a lot of different options that you could potentially have access to in the Heroic Tier. Like, I know a lot of you guys have seen Dark Sun. We had themes in Dark Sun. This book is going to introduce themes for core D&D. And it's that sort of mechanic where it's almost kind of like a giant buffet. You can go up to, and there's lots of different options. The DM can add to the campaign. The players can add to the campaign. Focusing on levels 1 to 10. There's some traditional stuff like feats. We're also looking at things like, I don't know, how much can I spoil here? Do you want to give a couple more examples? Or?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Just keep going until does this.
So essentially what we're doing is looking at levels 1 to 10, what's the kind of stuff people would do in that level. So you have like themes. We're also doing things like non-combat options. If you want to be a blacksmith, there's rules options for that. You know, and we're trying to build these in a way so like, hey, I want to be a master smith. This is something that's part of my character. You're not spending feats or anything like that. You're just as a group saying, hey, here's a rules option. Almost a little like Unearthed Arcana-esque, for if you can think back to the 3E version, where it's just like, great, as a DM, this is important to me in my campaign. There are players like this. They can add it to their character, but it's not taking away your feats, not taking away your skill rank. It's just a separate subsystem you can add on. So there's a fair amount of that in this book, and there's also things like feats and just generally interesting stuff you could use in levels 1 to 10. So it's really meant to be any character. If you're playing an assassin or a psionic character or just a plain old fighter or rogue, there's something in here for you.
Anyone at the Forgotten Realms seminar yesterday?
Yep.
You saw this piece of art without anything on it. Neverwinter Campaign Guide is coming next year, expanding the Forgotten Realms a bit and taking us back to a place that everybody loved. Matt, who's not here today, gave me some notes. Let's see what he wanted me to say about this book. Too much. Can't say that. Nope.
You're an editor.
Oh, how about level 1 to 30 Bladesinger?
Say Bladesinger.
Bladesinger, yeah. Let's see, what else? Plot options. Let's see.
Those are cliff notes.
Yes. No, I'm putting little black bars everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's enough. Blade singer. That's also another player-oriented book, the Hero Builder's Handbook. I guess this is all designed, so Mike's got to talk about it. None of these things have hit development yet, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is the book where we just blow up D&D. No one's going to start working it. No, the, we,
don't say things.
I'm here, like, live podcasting Twitter. This. The,
we won't tell anybody.
Yeah. we actually haven't started design work on this book yet, but we do have some basic ideas for it. This is really a book that's going to be aimed at higher-end players who want to tinker with characters. If you're the type of player who has a very specific character concept and wants to build something very detailed, and almost you approach the system as it's a bunch of Lego pieces that you just want to break apart and build up something really unique, this is what this book is aimed at. So I can't go into too much detail beyond this because it's still something we're just starting to work on. But it's really aimed at that tinkering, do-it-yourself kind of end of character creation.
So is this something that we're hoping the optimizers will want to pick up and look at?
I'm sorry?
Is this something we're hoping the optimizers will want to pick up and look at then?
I hope they pick up everything.
Of course.
Yes, we hope optimizers pick up this book. And there will be things in there for optimizers specifically, as well as for role players and anybody else who likes to customize their character to the nth degree.
It's really from both ends, like if you're just mechanical or for story reasons, you just want to have kind of a different character. So,
cool. The super adventure for next year is The Madness of Gardmore Abbey. James Wyatt is just finishing this up. Like The Shadowfell, it also has a card deck in it. What is the card deck in this one called? Do you remember? Oh, it's the Deck of Many Things. That's right. Yes, the Deck of Many Things will be in this box set.
Just the Deck of Many Things.
Scattered.
Yeah, the plot is that the Deck of Many Things has been scattered throughout the area around the Gardmore Abbey, and you are tasked to go and recover it. And in that recovering, you accidentally use some of it. or maybe purposefully, depending on your character.
I want to fight death.
Yeah, I'm rough. Yeah.
And in the fourth quarter, my last surprise of the day. Oh, look at the time. Is the Ravenloft role playing game for Dungeons and Dragons. With Ravenloft, we're going to allow you to play vampires and werewolves and other things that go bump in the night, as well as regular old fighters and clerics and paladins and stuff.
No sparkling.
No sparkling.
No sparkling. Aww. You can sparkle if you want to.
No.
Quote.
I leave that to you. There's also we've been introducing some new components, like cards and things. We have a new component for Ravenloft, but I'm not going to tell you what that is today. Just be aware that it is very, very cool, and I will talk more about it in my column probably right after the new year.